Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon in the Ukraine and good morning everywhere else in America. My name is Jason Dias and you are listening to The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? It is a solo performance here today. Our good buddy, Tough Talkin' Troy Hall, is dealing with health issues with his father. For those of you who don't know, Troy lives in a multi-generational home, four generations living under one roof, and he is the epicenter of all of that generational activity. And the guy you hear on the show is the guy you will meet if you ever get the chance to meet Troy in person at one of his speaking events, or if you're in South Carolina. Just a nice guy, very forthcoming gentleman, and he's taking care of his pops this morning. So our thoughts and prayers are with him and his dad, who's been dealing with some health issues, as some many World War II veterans would. Speaking of World War II veterans, I want to have a big time shout out and thank you to our guest last week, Freddy's, the Freddy behind the Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burger. That was a great show, easily on our way to another 1,000 archived listens to the show. So if you're listening now, or more likely listening later, welcome and thank you so much for joining us. I would have loved to have Troy on this particular show because he loves talking about brands and marketing and advertising and stuff like that. And we had sort of talked obliquely about doing a show this Wednesday about the performances that we saw over the weekends watching football. And so the performances in this particular instance are the 30 and 60 second spots that you have to watch when you're watching football. The Steelers played Monday night, so of course my big interest was in the Monday night game. And I was compelled to watch that game upstairs where I do not have TiVo. I have TiVo downstairs. And I got to tell you, I came in late from the basketball games at my son's Lutheran school. It was tip-off on Monday night here in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And my favorite basketball team in the world, the Cross Lutheran Eagles boys blue team, our fifth and sixth graders, won their first game of the season, and that was a lot of fun. But anyway, so when I came home, my wife and my little tax deduction had called the downstairs TV to watch Spider-Man, whichever one it is, not the one with the Toby guy, the new one that just came out. And I was like, nope, I'm going upstairs to watch the Steelers game, and of course, no TiVo. And so it's like, man, you've got to go get food and stuff like that at the commercials. It was kind of an old school way of watching a football game. It's kind of an old school football game, which the Steelers thankfully won in overtime. But anyway, I was paying attention all weekend. I watched other football all weekend, college and pro, and just kind of get a sense of these 30-second performances that are compelling our loyalty or trying to switch our loyalty from one brand to another. And so we're going to talk about that today on the show a little bit. And of course, the one unmistakable reality is as soon as the clock strikes midnight on Halloween, and even well before that, I'm beginning to think that the Christmas marketing campaigns should just start on December 26th and just go for the whole year. And I don't know about you, and I suspect there's probably some market research out there that's going to show that I'm wrong about this. It actually doesn't make me want to go to Best Buy or any of these things, especially if you live in Texas and they're showing Christmas spots and you got the air conditioner going and it's as it was last week in the mid and high 80s. I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling Christmas when I'm walking over to the thermostat to knock it down to 76 or 74. So that's just me. That's just living here in Texas, Republic thereof. And Christmas is kind of lost on me until I'm actually wearing, winter clothes and sweatpants or something like that, and there's a log on the fire in the fireplace. But that was my first reaction, that every single spot was about the upcoming Christmas. And then, of course, you take a look at the calendar, and as we're sitting here today, I mean, push that piece of paper down, it is the 14th of November. I guess you have to say, well, we are in the Christmas season, but it seems like we've been in it for the past 3 or 4 weeks. I think Michael's had stuff up in August, and that's where I really draw the line, or Hobby Lobby. Somebody had stuff up in August, and I'm sorry, when it's 107 degrees, I do not want to see Christmas trees and stuff. I never want to see the inside of Hobby Lobby, but much less decorated for Christmas when, you know, you're getting out of your car and it's, you know, 100 and some odd degrees outside. But anyway, so we're going to talk about the power of performance in that condensed space of 30 to 60 seconds, and so we're going to do that. I also want to thank our sponsor, which I forgot to do last week. I was so geeked up about our guest. But if you want to put on the best live performance, you need talented people. So go visit our folks out there at Optimal Talent Solutions, optimaltalent.org, your one-stop shop for all of your HR, hiring, onboarding, training, diversity programs. You need it. They've got it. Call Chris Ortiz, Optimal Talent Solutions, CUSO, wholly owned by South Carolina Federal Credit Union. And speaking of credit unions, this show used to be called Radio Free Credit Union Show. In fact, my login on Blog Talk is still Radio Free CU. And I leave it there because it reminds me that we made a big transition and said we are no longer, myself and Nike and the people that work with EloquentOnline.net, we're just not going to be a credit union-only organization anymore. It'll always be a big part of our business. A lot of our clients are credit unions, but it's not going to be the only thing we do. Well, I got to tell you, in the past few weeks, I have detected some pretty significant voices in the credit union marketplace beginning to challenge the long-standing dogmas of the credit union business model, which I think is the dogmas of we're all in this together, the cooperative business model, it's the year of the cooperative, but there's not a single member at a credit union that cares or knows. But James Robert Lay had a great thing out on CU Insight. There was somebody else, I think Tom Glatt was talking about the same kind of thing. It's like, listen, how many conferences have you been to since 2005? Oh, by the way, when I started saying this cooperative business model is flawed, there's absolutely no way that we can have a collective marketplace in a free market economy. It's certainly much better if credit unions can find ways to work together that benefit them financially. And I thought the shared branching was brilliant, but there's not this groundswell of popular support. Nobody gets out of bed in the morning and goes, man, what can I do to sustain the cooperative banking business model today? Nobody cares. Banking is just a commodity now. And this idea that, in my life dealing with people and consumers, almost everybody I know, oh, yeah, I had to go to the bank. Oh, yeah, where do you do your banking? San Antonio Credit Union. Oh, I got to go to the bank. Oh, where do you do your banking? Oh, the bank? My bank is Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union. So nobody cares. Credit union this and credit union that and the credit union conference clan. I don't even remember when Bank Transfer Day. I know we've got to be coming up on a year, or maybe the year anniversary passed. It is absolutely time to concede that was not a game-changing moment. It was a game-changing moment for a certain individual out there who's certainly more than welcome to cash those checks. But again, you've got – it just plays to the dogmas of the past and, I believe, at the cost of the future. Now, when you look and examine at credit unions and any business, really, that is reimagining how they do business and getting away from some of those outdated credit union dogmas. You know, we had Denise Weimer on the show back when we did the debate about GTE Financial dropping credit union from their name, which I was certainly in favor of. I'll never forget, and I don't know, I might be making too much of this linguistically. I remember Denise saying, we have to follow the cooperative principles. My first reaction was, first of all, don't ever tell me what I have to do in a free country, in a free market economy, because my first reaction is to do the other thing. Now, that's just me. Now, that's me being a guy, a bit of a Latin hothead, a Texan. You know, that's just my thing. And but I just thought about it when I was reading some of those articles from people and people that you know, people that are respected in the credit union conference clan. I would have actually put James Robert Lay in the credit union conference clan. So I was really surprised and pleased, by the way. And if you hadn't had a chance to check out that blog, go check it out. It's at CU Insight. I think you just search for James Robert Lay's name and you'll probably find it. I think it was his last monthly offering. So anyway, notwithstanding all of that, the power performance here is all about putting on your best live performance. And since we've done the events at GTE Financial and out at the First National Bank of Bastrop, we have new people listening to the show all the time. And so it's important to remember the show is the metaphor for everything we do. Even if you're listening to this show in the archive, as most people do, you're still listening to the broadcast of a live performance. If I make a mistake, I can't go back and change it. You always get the chance when you end the show to edit it, but I honestly don't even know how to do that, so I'm not going to try. But the show is the metaphor. Troy called last night, I think it was about 8 o'clock, to mention that he couldn't be on the show this morning, and I could have canceled the show. I could have just, you know, we're not going to do it, but the show must go on, and that's what we do here. We're flexible. We don't get freaked out when stuff changes, and we love doing this show, so there was no way I was going to cancel it, but I do miss having Troy's wonderful voice next to me trying to hog up all the airtime, so... And of course, Troy knows. I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, we're going to talk about Christmas. We're going to talk about ads, especially the three car companies that I remember from the weekend and what they're doing right and what they're doing well. And we'll do it right after this. You're back on the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Walk Like an Egyptian. It was my absolute favorite song in November of 1986 when I had my little transistor radio tucked in my pocket at Fort Benning, Georgia. I was out at the Ranger School in Fort Benning, Georgia in 1986 in what I call the Crucible. This was 4 weeks of basically doing everything you saw, speaking of performances, the 30-second and 60-second performances that the Army did for commercials back in the 80s, Be All You Can Be, and they would always show guys rappelling out of helicopters and jumping out of helicopters and planes and shooting and blowing things up. It was a month of that back at Fort Benning, the last 2 weeks of November and the first 2 weeks of December, back when I was a very, very young man and looked like the Karate Kid. And it was very nice this past Veterans Day. Maybe the best thing about Facebook for me has been the ability to reconnect with some of the gentlemen I served with in the peacetime Army at Fort Ord, California, and in the wartime Army of Desert Storm. And so anyway, well, listen, let's talk about live performances. I guess you wouldn't have to call them live, but they are going on during a live event. A football game is certainly a live event. And unless you have the hopper and you can skip over them, that's a whole question unto itself. Is the day of the 30-second, 60-second commercial spot still going to be relevant in 10 or 15 years? You know, I've got my iPad, and man, during the election, when you're trying to read so much stuff online, the ads were really driving me crazy because it on an iPad, obviously, if you're just kind of handling it, you might accidentally touch one of those spots, and bam, there goes the article you're reading, and you're looking at some ad about what not to eat to be fat or something much worse than that. But these live performances during the football games, the three that jumped out at me that I remember, just for whatever reason, were all car spots. And so let me take them in order. Mercedes, again, with the Christmas spot, the Santa Mercedes factory, still clearly going after that luxury car market. You can often tell who's watching a show by the ads. There is no real science there because the science is done before you ever see them. It's like if you watch the CBS Evening News tonight, you will see nothing but medicine and Medicare supplement and Social Security and Depends and joint relief and, you know, Lance Welk on VHS collections. You know who's watching the Sunday or the CBS Evening News, and it's not me, by the way, or anybody I know, but you can usually tell. So obviously there's still people that can afford a Mercedes. I'm not one of them, who watch a lot of football. And I thought they're kind of sticking, I think what they've been doing since about 2009, the whole Santa factory, the Mercedes factory. And I don't know anybody that's actually ever gotten a car for Christmas. And I certainly don't know anybody that's gotten a Mercedes for Christmas. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, my dad got my mom a sweater or something like that, a vacuum cleaner or, you know, a new dust rag or some pots and pans, anything like that. And, of course, the kids, we would get, you know, a Monopoly game or that vibrating football game. But we were not giving away cars. And now that I think about it, I don't recall seeing the old Lexus commercials that you typically see at Christmas time. And, yes, I call it Christmas. I'm not one of these chickens who goes around calling it holiday season. It's Christmas to me. It's Christmas in this family. It's Christmas in this city, New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. But Mercedes is clearly going after that high-end luxury car buyer with what I thought was a very tight ad campaign. I like the I think they should put a little a red one on the front to be Rudolph, but I guess maybe they don't have the rights to use Rudolph. But you got, you know, the deer, the silver ones, pulling the red Mercedes, and it's the concept, hey, let Santa deliver a Mercedes to you. And I thought it was really, really nicely done. It always kind of makes me wish, oh, well, if I could buy a Mercedes, I might go out there and get one. In terms of luxury cars, I didn't see anything for Audi, or I don't remember seeing one for Lexus during football this particular weekend. And then, of course, the next one was Hyundai. I have been buying Hyundais since they were the pieces of garbage from Korea that they were back in the 1980s. But they're not that anymore. I think one of the best things Hyundai ever did was that warranty, because they did it at a time when it appealed to people in Generation X who wanted some kind of commitment they could count on. And I think that's really where they energized their brand. Back in about the mid-90s, people started saying, wait a minute, these cars really aren't junk after all. And I've got one sitting at my, what I call my airport car, my B car, is actually a Hyundai Sonata 2004, and it's all mine. It's the first car I ever actually paid off. So I'm driving it until the tires come off, and then of course I've got my other, what I call my town car, my nice car, the Hummer H3 that I like to drive and park right next to the smart car. I always park in the fuel efficient zone or the fuel efficient spot at Best Buy, just to irritate the people that think that car is ruining the planet, because it's really not, because it doesn't put a whole lot of miles on it when you work from home and stuff like that. So anyway, that was the next one I remember, was Hyundai. I do not recall, however, which car it was. I want to say it was the Genesis, but it could have been another one. And this is the problem with having so many cars. It's like Jack in the Box. I don't know how you can go to Jack in the Box and know what to order. Every time I'm watching TV, the Jack guy is introducing another disgusting, terrible-looking sandwich. Well, they make it look good on TV, but then you get to the store. Speaking of that, last night, and I apologize to Freddie and the people at Freddie's Frozen Custard and Steak Burger. We just happened to be in a part of town far away from the Freddie's, had to stop and get a quick bite, and we rolled into Sonic. Generally, Sonic is not bad. Last night, Sonic was terrible. I mean, terrible. When I had mine, when I ate mine, I was like, you know, doing the old Caddyshack line. Whoo, I can still see where the jockey was hitting this thing, and it was just not... Yeah, drummers finally wake it up. It was not good, and so I'm actually going to call them and tell them I need my money back. I don't want a gift card or anything. I want my money back on that one. I'm going to take that money and go over and get me a Freddy's patty melt maybe for lunch today. And if I can, as summon the willpower, I'll skip the French fries. And then, of course, the next car that I remember seeing because it's voiced by somebody that I like. Tim Allen does the voiceovers on the Chevy commercials with Chevy. And in this case, it was the Malibu. I remember they were showing the Malibu. I don't know why. I've never owned a Chevy. I've never been interested in Chevy. I could care less, honestly. Not my brand, although I love the Camaro. If I can get the H3 paid off and the Sonatas paid off, I might have to trade them both in on a Camaro. That is a beautiful car, but this particular spot was for the Malibu, and Chevy runs deep, and so those 3 30-second spots were the one that stayed with me. Mercedes, just pretty much the car sells itself. Hey, if you can afford one, get one. Hyundai, they're basically trying to say, look, you don't have to go buy a Mercedes. You can buy a Genesis. You know, you don't have to spend that. You know, save your money and buy something else. You can actually give two Hyundais for Christmas for the price of one Mercedes. And, of course, Chevy is just all over the place with trucks and cars and that ridiculous Volt thing. And they're all vying for the attention of the next generation of car buyer. And I think right now, you have to say they're all in pretty good shape. I think they all have a pretty decent market share. I can't believe I didn't see any Ford commercials over the weekend. And if I did, I don't remember them. But these were the three that I remembered. And, of course, Lowe's now has this thing. And as soon as I think something doesn't make any sense, my wife will be sitting next to me, oh, that's cool. The whole My Lowe's, you know, here's what you ordered last year for Christmas lights. It's, you know, push my button on the iPad, and this is what you need again this year. So I guess that's pretty cool to some people. I don't do a lot of lights on the house. I do some stuff out in the front yard, and we certainly decorate inside the house. But I'm not one of those guys that tries to outdo his neighbor by running up a $6,000 electrical bill for 6 weeks during Christmas time. I don't really get – and my house is not really – designed for that. A very, very high two-story house in the front. The facade is very high. And right to try to get up there and do the lights, I might be broadcasting the show from the orthopedic ward of Christus Santa Rosa here in New Braunfels, Texas Republic thereof sometime next week. Hey, when we come back, I want to reset and talk to you about the upcoming rest of the schedule here on the show. I can't believe it. We're getting close to the end of the year. We are not going to do a show next week. And then December, we take a hiatus at the latter part of December. So we're coming to the end of another great, great broadcasting year. And we'll do that, reset the show right after this.
You're listening to the Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
All right, you are back on the Power Performance. My name is Jason, and we're broadcasting live from the offices of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And the show. Thank you, everybody. Can't believe we're getting to the point of the year where we start talking about single digits on the show. Now, we're not going to do a show next week because of the Thanksgiving holiday that is typically a week long for me. The school's out. My brain is not really on work-related stuff. I love Thanksgiving week if it's cold. And I'm going to tell you something I'm going to do, and I'm going to try to do it probably starting on Tuesday. I'm going to try to do it all week, but certainly no later than Tuesday. And I'm just going to say, if you can hear this, you should consider doing this too. I'm not going to be tweeting. I'm not going to be on Facebook. I'm not going to be sending out emails to people next week. Next week, I'm just going to look around at the people that are close to me in my life and be thankful to God that I have them. And I'll never forget. I forgot who it was. It was one of the Credit Union Conference Clan. He tweeted that he was making breakfast with his daughters. And I got to tell you, it was a Saturday morning. I just remember thinking, well, make breakfast with your daughters. You don't have to tweet about it. I guess somebody cares. I guess it's sweet that you're sharing that. But good grief, man. If you're making breakfast, are you sure you're making breakfast with your daughters? If you're taking time to tweet on your phone or something, how do you know they're not flipping the pancakes out on the floor or something like that? I mean, I'm just saying, for my purposes next week, I'm not going to read anything, okay? I'm not going to read another article about market segmentation or banks versus credit unions or any of that stuff. All very interesting in its own time, but I got to be honest, man, my year is coming to an end. We're not going to do a show next week. I guess we'll have a show the week after that and probably two in December. So we're looking at, on our way, three shows left. And three shows left in the year, and of course at the end of December, you won't have to hear my voice. I won't be on the air. Studio audience who's been asleep now for 26 minutes decides to wake up long enough to insult the host. Well, like I've often said, our studio audience is comprised of people who have failed out of the Sonic Management Training Program, and so you can't expect much, but what, a dollar for the show, you can't expect much with that kind of money on the table. So we're down to about three shows. And I think we're gonna wrap up the show in December. We're gonna play some beautiful, exquisitely beautiful Christmas music again from our master violinist, Nike Van Wyck. I'm still hoping to get him on the show. We might actually do a special show or special webinar, because when you see the video of what Nike went through to get to that event in Bastrop 2 weeks ago, driving out of Hurricane Sandy through a Northeasterner to drive all the way from Connecticut to Columbus, Ohio, just to fly down for a 30-minute performance, to me that speaks volumes about the professionalism of that guy. And he is a stone cold musical professional. We're gonna wrap up the year talking about why we spend so much time talking about music on this show, and how we think that if you want to put on an optimal performance each and every day, you should embrace the discipline of music. I used to hate that word metrics. Well, Jason, what metrics do you use to show that your training is satisfactory, and what kind of metrics do you want? Either you grow your market share or you don't. But if you like metrics and you're looking for something, let me tell you something. Metrics is music. Music is metrics. Music is mathematical. It's rhythmically based on the subdivision of time into fractions, and it has to be done instantaneously. It's not worked out on paper. It's not worked out in some, you know, marketing graph at the other 6,000 meetings that banking professionals typically have to go to every day. It's instantaneous, and that's why we love music. It's something that you have to be able to improvise while staying on the same sheet of paper with everybody else. And of course, the other thing we love about music is that when you think about the building blocks of music, you can find them in your business. The two most important things to me on a musical score are the key and the time signature. The key signature is what key are we all going to be in. That is insanely important. And for your organization, the key signature is your culture. What do we all say? How do we all act? Are we all collectively putting on our best performance each and every day? And then, of course, the time signature, that's your technology that keeps the beat, keeps the things going, the internet banking, the email server. Like I tell people, if you look at your brand as a band, IT is the drummer. They're in the back, very, very important, and you typically only notice them when they've made a mistake or if it's not there. If you're listening to a band and the drummer just stops playing, believe me, you'll notice it. And if your email server goes down, of course, we're going to talk more and more next year about these, how to improve customer and member service by embracing the most universal language of our time. Music is the ultimate multi-generational, multi-demographic language of our humanity. And if you will allow us to, we can show you how to reimagine the way you intentionally engage the audience of people that are looking to do business with you, or maybe looking to make a switch from who they're doing business with now. That was the other thing. Has anybody seen anybody using one of these Surface things? The most irritating ad campaign for me right now, the most irritating 30, 60-second performance is this click, and I don't know what the thing is. You have to click it together, and you get all these people with their little Windows tablet I'm sorry, I've yet to see anybody using one of those. I might have to go do some research and find out how those things are selling. I personally think I'm going to get an iPad mini and be done with it. I'm not interested in clicking anything together. Believe it or not, we have come to the end of another show. I always worry, can you really talk for 30 minutes? To which my parents are probably saying, yes, you absolutely can. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us. My name is Jason Dias, and this is The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Let me tell you how you can do that. Be beautiful. Be the person you were in the interview. Do something today that makes that audience member go, man, I can't get this kind of service anywhere else, so why would I even think about leaving you? Because when you do that, that's how you keep the audience wanting more. And like I said, no show next week. We're going to take a break for the Thanksgiving holiday. And when we come back, we'll find all kinds of new and fun things to talk about here on The Power of Performance. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time we speak, I'll talk to you soon.